with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
The White House Monday rejected Democratic calls for a special prosecutor to probe allegations that it exposed a covert agent to punish a critic, saying the Justice Department could handle it fairly. White House spokesman Scott McClellan also denied that chief political strategist Karl Rove played a role, saying Rove had personally assured him he was not involved. Several Democrats called for a special counsel outside of the Justice Department to conduct the investigation, but the White House has rejected the proposal. Senior American military officials say that as much as 650,000 tons of ammunition remains at thousands of sites used by the former Iraqi security forces, and that much of it has not been secured and will take years to destroy. The scope of the problem is much larger than the Pentagon acknowledged 3 weeks ago when senior military officials insisted that all known munition sites in Iraq had been secured. The leading Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Jane Harman, yesterday disputed the assertion by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice that there was new information to support the claim that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction before the war and was a looming threat to the United States. In a letter to CIA Director George Tenet, Committee Chairman Porter Goss and Harman criticized the intelligence community for using information that was outdated, circumstantial, and fragmentary to come to the conclusion that Iraq possessed chemical and biological weapons and had links to al-Qaeda. Iraqis involved in the effort to write a new constitution said today that completing the document in 6 months, the goal set by Secretary of State Colin Powell last week, will be impossible to meet because of differences over how to select the drafters and more profound disagreements over the role of Islamic law and a new political system. A committee of lawyers, scholars, and religious figures that was supposed to propose a way to select delegates to a constitutional convention has not been able to agree on a preferred method, according to members of the country's governing council and others familiar with the process. More after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Six record labels have withdrawn a $300 million lawsuit against a 66-year-old woman who has never downloaded a song. Not only that, as a Mac user, she couldn't even run the Windows-based Kazaa software. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Did you ever see the old science fiction horror movie, The Thing? That fictional thing came from outer space and threatened to destroy our country. But today, we've got a real-life thing that comes from within, grows bigger and bigger every year, and is steadily devouring our democracy. Corporate money. We've seen the White House, Congress, and both major parties be consumed by this big money special interest thing. But now, corporate contributors are even planning to swallow the presidential nominating conventions of the Republicans and Democrats. The thing never sleeps. After the Watergate scandal of 1972, these quadrennial conventions have been financed with public funds, a move intended to keep the corrupting power of corporate money out of the process. By 1980, however, a little loophole appeared, allowing the sponsoring cities of the conventions to offset expenses by raising a limited amount of money from local corporations. Having gotten its finger in that little loophole, the thing began to wriggle, enlarging the hole until its whole hand was inside. By 2000, there were more corporate executives and lobbyists at the two conventions than delegates, with the likes of Microsoft and AT&T paying $2 million each to worm their way inside where they could schmooze with the top office holders of both parties and win favor for their special governmental needs. And now, at next year's two presidential conventions, corporations are expected to put up more than $100 million to pay about three-fifths of the total cost of the conventions. But the thing wants it all, and political operatives of both parties seem willing to sell. As a Republican election commissioner says, I look forward to the day when Americans can turn on their TVs and watch the Nokia Democratic Convention or the AT&T Republican National Convention. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the thing, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast, border to border. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Our quote for the day from President George Herbert Walker Bush. You may have heard this before. It got a little play yesterday, but certainly not on faux news. President George H.W. Bush, in 1999, saying, quote, I have nothing but contempt and anger for those who betray the trust by exposing the names of our sources. They are, in my view, the most insidious of traitors. End quote from George H.W. Bush. Now, in today's news, the White House will cooperate, according to CNN, with the Justice Department in its initial inquiry into who leaked the classified identity of a CIA operative, but it will not launch an internal probe, and it will not ask for an independent investigation, a spokesman said Monday. So our quote for the day from George H.W. Bush, and the White House quote for the day from Sergeant Schultz.
I know nothing, I see nothing, and I say nothing.
Yes, indeed.
I know nothing, I see nothing, and I say nothing.
The White House quote for the day. This is actually a serious matter. I was astounded at the waffling of Robert Novak yesterday on Crossfire, where he was going, well, maybe they say, I talked to somebody at the CIA, and they said that Joe Wilson's wife was just an analyst. Yeah, right. Here we have on July 14th, and I want you to remember that date, July 14th, because just 4 days later, something very significant happened. Just a week earlier, something very significant happened. July 14th, Robert Novak writes this article. It's the copy I'm looking at is from townhall.com. It was, I believe, originally published in the Chicago Sun-Times. He's a syndicated columnist. That's his home newspaper. And then they syndicated out to over 300 newspapers around the United States. And Robert Novak said, and I quote, Wilson never worked for the CIA, but his wife, Valerie Plame, is an agency operative on weapons of mass destruction. End quote. He also then says the two senior administration officials talked to him about this. And he talked with Wilson as well. And he implies that he talked with the CIA. So either Robert Novak is now lying. I mean, he's changed his story, right? I mean, in a published story on July 14th, 2003, he said, Valerie Plame is a Central Intelligence Agency operative on weapons of mass destruction, quote, unquote. And yesterday on Crossfire, for the record, he was saying,
well, I talked to people at the CIA and maybe, and she's just an analyst.
So either he is now lying, or in his original story, Mission to Niger, Robert Novak, July 14, 2003, in his original story, he hadn't bothered to do decent journalism. Which is it? Is Novak a liar or a lousy journalist? Be interesting to see if Paul Begala asks him that today, because those seem to be the choices. Having spent nearly 10 years in the news business myself, and certainly over almost 30 years as a published writer, I mean, you try to get your facts right, and particularly, I have, frankly, I can't say, speaking from experience, I have never written an article that outed a CIA agent. So I can't quite speak from experience to this level of the need for factual veracity. But I would think that anybody, any competent journalist, anybody with an ounce of credibility, or the hope for it, or the desire to retain it, would, if they were going to say that somebody was a CIA operative, check their facts. They would at least check their facts. And here we have, this very strange situation. This very strange situation. So where is this going? What is happening with all this? I mentioned... Keep in mind July 14th. Now, what happened on July 18th? July 18th, 4 days later, after Novak outed Valerie Plame, on about that same day, right around that same time period, David Kelly was being outed in England. 4 days later, Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame were fielding phone calls from the press, a feeding frenzy from the press about whether or not she was a CIA agent. And 4 days later in England, David Kelly slit his wrist under the same kind of pressure. There's an interesting situation going on in England. Today's Montpelier Times Argus, the newspaper here in the capital city of Vermont, has a great editorial today, a fascinating editorial on the importance and the consequences to the importance of the relationship between the United States and Great Britain and the consequences to it of this affair. And I want to get into that in this hour. I think this is a really significant issue. If you have thoughts on it, I'd love to hear them. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Kodak is in South Carolina on the telephone. Kodak, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi again today, Tom.
Hey, Kodak, how you doing?
I'm just fine. Yesterday I said I had missed some of the broadcast, so I downloaded and I was listening to it. And in conjunction with the story that you did on the Russian exchange students,
right,
Isn't this Robert Novak story a matter for Homeland Security?
One would think. According to George H.W. Bush, according to George Bush Sr., quote, "They are, in my view, the most insidious of traitors," end quote.
Exactly. So, and it was a treasonous act, and also it was involving Homeland Security, the defense of our country against potential terrorists.
Yeah.
So I want to know, when are the Homeland Security Department going to get involved in this case?
Well, the official policy of the White House, the official policy of the White House is, it actually goes a little beyond that. They're saying, well, the Justice Department is going to investigate this.
Okay.
Of course, the Justice Department is part. Are they part of the Department of Homeland Security, or is it the other way around? New reorganization.
Dispense the. The justice in the way in which they see fit.
Yeah. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess, and it's going to get messier. I guarantee you. I mean, look at what's happening in England. It is now coming here, and we're going to get to that in a little more detail. Kodak, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments, and always to the point. I very much appreciate that. 1-800-TALK. Yes, that's 1-800-825-5937. And Roy in Georgia is on the line. Roy, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom? I pick up your show from a little station out of Alabama.
Great.
Yeah, Atlanta area is the home of the right wing talk. So, on this whole issue, first of all, I don't care if this woman sweeps floors at the CIA; she was outed, and the law is the law. It doesn't say spy, doesn't say operative. It says the agency, and first of all, Novak and CNN, those guys, let's see if they have any guts, whether they nail him. And secondly, it's been since July that this story's been around. It's time it starts to get legs.
In fact, let me quote you, Roy, from the law itself. This is the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982, and this is the part that. Now, yesterday I heard Paul Begala say there's an exemption for journalists. I don't have the entire law here, but I have most of it, and I don't see that in here. Whoever, in the course of a pattern of activities intended to identify and expose covert agents and with reason to believe that such activities would impair or impede the foreign intelligence agencies of the United States, discloses any information that identifies an individual as a covert agent to any individual not authorized to receive classified information, knowing that the information disclosed so identifies such individual and that the United States is taking affirmative measures to conceal such individual's classified intelligence relationship to the United States, shall be fined under Title 18 or imprisoned for not more than 3 years or both. Now, reading that, it sort of says that it has to be somebody who is, as they say, a covert agent. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if she swept floors at the CIA, it may still be a crime, but I think not this 3-year felony under this law.
Well, but here's the issue: is it was done obviously, and they've used this guy before. I mean, that's not kidding me. He's carried water for Republicans many, many times. It obviously was done to quiet dissent, and it's time that the so-called liberal media in this country gets some cojones and goes after this story. This is an outrage, absolute outrage, and just keep it alive, man.
Okay. Well, this
isn't.
You're welcome. Thank you, Roy, for the call. I appreciate that. And this isn't the first time. I have an email. Actually, this is off BuzzFlash. Sources close to the former President Bush say Rove was fired from the 1992 Bush presidential campaign. It's interesting. We had on this show a guest a couple of weeks ago who was very active in that 92 campaign, drove George Bush around in the Iowa primaries and things. And a Republican who came out and said that he can no longer vote for Republicans and he's supporting Howard Dean. And I'll have to call him up and see if he knew Karl Rove. It'd be interesting to get another dimension on this. Anyhow, this article says Rove was fired from the 1992 Bush presidential campaign after he planted a negative story with columnist Robert Novak about dissatisfaction with campaign fundraising chief and Bush loyalist Robert Mosbacher Jr. It was smoked out. And he was summarily ousted. Will history repeat itself? Time will tell. Very strange stories about Karl Rove and his hair trigger temper. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman exposing the con in conservative on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Common sense and radio broadcasting. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. July 6th, Joe Wilson says in the New York Times in an op-ed piece, he says, no, there is no uranium in Niger, at least on its way to Iraq. The whole thing was cooked up. David Kelly about that time is saying that Tony Blair was sexing up, a British phrase for the what we would say cooking up or whatever, this dossier on the threat that Saddam represented. And then on July 14th, we have Robert Novak outing Joe Wilson's wife. And on July 18th, we have David Kelly committing suicide. Major investigation underway in England. And who called that investigation? Tony Blair himself. A politician with at least some shred of integrity left. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Ricardo in Texas is on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, by the way. Ricardo, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up? Hey.
I just letting you know, I'm a Clinton supporter, but I'm very conservative, and I happen to be a Democrat, switch parties during the Iran-Contra crack cocaine scandal. After that, I pretty much said I'd never vote for a Republican again. And after the December the 13th, when the Supreme Court picked Bush Jr. as our first dictator, I pretty much don't even like to look at Republicans. I'm so ashamed.
Yeah, it's getting kind of scary over there on the right, isn't it? I mean,
it's beyond scary. It's what's really scary isn't the right wing in itself is, you know, I can't stand them, and I happen to be Catholic, very very pro gun, happen to be pro life, and pro death penalty. So I fit there in the conservative category pretty much.
Well, why do those things mean conservative, Ricardo?
Well, I've heard liberals that I view personally liberal and a conservative. You could have a very good liberal and a very bad liberal, very good conservative, very bad conservative. The labels to me on liberal and conservative don't mean anything to me personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, or we ought to go back to the classic labels where the founders of this nation said that they were creating a liberal democracy. And where the Dwight Eisenhowers and Teddy Roosevelt said that conservative means to be fiscally prudent and to conserve our natural resources and preserve our nation so that we give to future generations something that is equal to or better than what we received from previous generations. Those used to be the definitions. Liberal democracy is democracy for all.
I don't
Sorry, go ahead.
In that game about the labels, but I am extremely one-sided. I distinguish between Republicans and all others.
Yeah.
Mainly because of December the 13th. What sickens me is the fact that the...
December the 13th.
In other words, the extreme court stopped the vote count in Florida and picked Bush Jr., not as president, but as dictator, because he wasn't elected. He can't be president.
Yeah.
I don't consider him president. He'll never be president. As far as I'm concerned.
Then you were a Republican. Okay.
Well, I used to be a Republican.
Yeah. Ricardo, we got about a minute left here. You want to... point?
In closing, what I'm really wanting to say is that what sickens me is that we, and Democrats included, but the American people, overwhelmingly, we were like little lap dogs and Pavlov's dog. They ring the bell, here we come, panting and everything. We basically rolled over because of December 13th. Could you imagine what the right wing would have done if they had done Gore that way? If they forced...
I mean, look at what they did over BJ in the White House.
I would never respected Gore. I would never be a Democrat again. It's sickening that people just rolled over. And that, you know, the last time we had a king with that representation was King George, which I believe I've heard that there's relationship to Bush Jr.
Well, here's the main relationship. King George III of England, who we fought a revolution against, was the third George to rule England. This George H.W. is the third George to rule the United States. I think that's about as close as it gets. But good point, Ricardo. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Thumbs down to the state of Minnesota's contract proposal to its two largest public employees unions. In a vote tabulated yesterday, nearly 30,000 Minnesota state employees overwhelmingly rejected state offers of two-year wage freezes and rising health insurance rates that would cost some workers as much as 7 weeks' wages. The vote clears the path for most public employees to strike, provided they alert the state 10 days in advance. However, both unions say they plan to continue to work toward a negotiated settlement. Preparing for a possible strike 2 weeks ago, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty activated National Guard units who have since been training to take over in nursing homes and similar facilities. Essential employees, like Minnesota's prison guards, are barred from striking and will head into binding arbitration.
Workers at the UK's oldest shipyard have occupied the facility in protest of plans to close it. More than 500 workers at the Appledore shipyard in North Devon chained the gates on Sunday. By Monday, they'd moved heavy equipment to block the entrances, and a couple hundred community members joined the occupation. The shipyard's expected to file for bankruptcy today. So far, the police and the shipyard's owners have left the workers alone.
Fresh off of big wage and benefit reductions brought about by their company's bankruptcy, mechanics at U.S. Airways say they face another threat to their standard of living, job loss. U.S. Airways may soon farm out the heavy maintenance of its fleet of Airbus jets to the lowest bidder. The Mechanics Union, the International Association of Machinists, calls the bid a violation of its labor contract and says it's prepared to take whatever means necessary to prevent the loss of jobs, including a withdrawal of services. U.S. Airways employs about 5,000 mechanics and related employees, mostly in Pittsburgh and Charlotte, North Carolina.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, I am just a student, sir, and only want to learn. But it's hard to read through the rise and smoke from the books that you like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise, and I'd like to make a vow, that when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now.
Oh, and welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network here in the Democracy Zone, part of the vast, part of the vast radical middle conspiracy. Yes, indeed. Take no imitations. And the vast right-wing experience. It's out there, folks. It's out there. And you're seeing it play out. It's just incredible. The spinmeisters at work. The spinmeisters, so, but if, from yesterday's questioning, Scott McClellan question, yes, but I'm just wondering if there's any conversation between Karl Rove and the president, or if he just talked to you, and you're here at this, McClellan, he wasn't involved. The president knows he wasn't involved. Question, well, how does he know that? McClellan, the president knows. question. What, is he clairvoyant? How does he know? This is called sharks sensing blood in the water. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Adrian in Maryland is on the line. Am I pronouncing that right?
Adrian,
yeah. Great. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, you were talking earlier about Novak trying to spin this and say that she wasn't really operative, she was just an analyst. But right after he finished talking, you know, they had all the CIA sources come on CNN and say she was an operative. And today on the Diane Rehm show, they had, I believe you pronounce his name, Donna Priest, who, you know, wrote the article that was on the front page of the Washington Post, was saying that she is an operative, currently working as an analyst, but keeping her, retaining her operative distinction, you know, in case she went back out into the field. And also, you know, if you think about it, the Justice Department wouldn't be telling the White House not to go on a shredding spree, you know, if she wasn't an operative. They would say there's nothing here.
Yeah. A shredding spree? Is that just a turn of phrase, or did I miss something in the news?
No, that's my term.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's going on there. I mean, that's the pattern of these guys in this administration. I mean, they're just it's bury the evidence. Whether it was George Bush's cocaine bust back in Texas years ago, and you know, issuing him a new driver's license to hide that, and bragging about his community service that he had to do in exchange for it, as if he had a momentary 3-month burst of altruism in his life.
Yeah.
And just, you know, right up to today, you know, covering up for his not showing up for National Guard duty. And well, in fact, that was one of the times. This Adrian, right?
Uh-huh.
Adrian, you'll find this interesting. This is a Buzz/Guest commentary by James C. Moore. He says, Roe's relationship with Novak is widely known in the Washington press corps. During the presidential campaign, when the chorus of questions was being asked about Mr. Bush and the Texas National Air National Guard, reporters wanted to know where Mr. Bush went during his time on assignment in Alabama. His commander, after all, had said that the future president had never shown up for duty.
Mm-hmm.
Rove told the campaign reporters that they were, quote, making too much of a few missed meetings, end quote. In 48 hours, the exact language was used on network television by Novak, who described the controversy of Mr. Bush's missing years as a few missed meetings. Novak was not on the press plane to hear Rove's original comments.
I'm just waiting for them to go after Novak. I'm just waiting for the smears to come out against him.
Well, against Robert Novak?
Uh-huh.
The smears from whom?
From the White House. You know, just to discredit him.
You think they're going to eat their own?
Well, they've done it before.
Yeah, I frankly doubt that's going to happen, because he's been on their side for 46 years. Although he did write an op-ed in the last week or so, really blasting the White House. So
his column that came out yesterday was in the Chicago Sun-Times was pretty critical.
It was
the White House in Iraq and everything. So
yeah, I haven't seen that, but or maybe that's the one I saw yesterday. Somebody emailed it to me. I had thought it was earlier in the week, but earlier last week. So that probably it'll be interesting. It's entertaining stuff, isn't it?
Yeah,
entertaining stuff. Adrian, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for calling in. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 1-800-825-5937. We're asking the question: how much damage will be done both to American democracy and to the Bush administration by this situation here, this outing of Valerie Plame? Its parallels to the outing of David Kelly in Great Britain. And is this going to bring down George W. Bush the way the David Kelly affair has brought down, or is bringing down, Tony Blair in the United Kingdom? Some interesting stuff on that, too, we'll get to in just a second. Armin in Florida is on the line. Armin, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
What's up?
I'll tell you what, if I was CIA and known what I knew about this crime family and how they lie and how the media is complicit and they just dump you like a piece of trash after serving your country, I think I'd turn on this administration and out all their little secrets. That's what I think I'd do.
On the one hand, you may be seeing pieces of that happening. In fact, there are some people for some time who have been suggesting that some of the leaks, particularly the leaks that happened before the war, had to, you know, that didn't look good for Bush. Well, you know, there is no such threat and all that kind of, that these were coming out of the CIA, that the CIA was trying to A, cover its butt, or B, restrain or slow down or calm down the Bush administration, or C, actually go to war with them. But on the other hand, keep in mind, this guy's father was the head of the CIA, so it's not like his family doesn't have deep roots in the organization. So it's a tough one.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it roots or if I'd call it claws and tentacles.
Yeah. Well said, Armin. Thanks for the comment. I appreciate your calling. Blair, defiant at the Iraq inquiry, David Kelly found dead on July 18th, 4 days after Robert Novak outs Valerie Plame on July 14th. And Blair first tried to spin this thing by saying that it was no big deal, that his communications chief, Alistair Campbell, who David Kelly had said had personally sexed up the dossier, that, in fact, that was not the case, that it was done on the merits of intelligence and, you know, blah-de-blah. But as I recall, Alistair Campbell fell on his sword. Will Karl Rove do the same? Michael in Santa Fe has some thoughts on this. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, Michael, what's up?
Yeah, I was wondering about the media hypocrisy in this. If Bill Donahue, okay, had outed a CIA agent, could you imagine how
ballistic he'd be in prison?
The right wing nut brigade would be. That's another thing, you know. It's so they're treating Robert Novak with kick gloves. Why is this man not been arrested yet? It's very clear. If you out a CIA operative, it is against the law, and you get your butt in a slammer pretty quick, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a felony. It's a 3-year felony. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, how come they haven't arrested Robert Novak? There it is. The proof's right there in the paper. You know, Bastard Wilson's wife is a CIA operative. He wrote it. There it is in print. I mean,
in his own words.
Day, yeah, I know. And I think the next day, you know, Mole Ashcroft would have gone and arrested him. I don't think so. I just like to point that out. If this was a liberal commentator out of the CIA agent in this situation right now, who's in charge of weapons of mass destruction, for Christ's sake, what would the reaction be in the CNN and phone news? I'll just give you that comment, and I'll have to take off. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael, in Santa Fe. Yes, and in fact, over and over and over again, I mean, for the last 2.5 years, I keep sitting back going, I wonder how they would have responded if Bill Clinton had done that. I mean, just think of all the things that can you imagine if Al Gore's former company was making hundreds of millions of dollars in profit and Al Gore was still receiving a paycheck every single month, an annual paycheck of well over $100,000, well more, he was still getting more money from his former employer than he was getting as vice president of the United States. Can you imagine what the Republicans would do about that? Yet that's the situation with Dick Cheney and Halliburton. And then he goes on, and then he goes on TV, has the audacity to lie about it. This is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, here on the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network at 17 minutes before the hour, and we have Joe in Massachusetts. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom.
Come on in. Have a seat.
It's great.
Thank you.
I just had a comment about, you know, what's going on when all the reporters were talking to, the press secretary for the White House. And
the feeding frenzy yesterday.
Yes, exactly. Now, people in Congress, Democrats, want to have an investigation, but now the White House wants the Justice Department to handle it.
Right.
Now, isn't the Justice Department kind of in the same bed anyways with all these guys?
George W. is saying, let's let John Ashcroft take care of this. He's a good guy, you know.
Jeez.
I'm telling you, here's the famous quote.
I know nothing, I see nothing, and I say nothing.
Yeah, exactly. That's our, that's the theme for the day, it's been for 2.5 years for these guys.
Nothing's going to get done this way,
Yeah. So what are you going to do about it, Joe?
What am I going to do about it? Well, I guess I'm taking part right now by arguing about it on the radio. But
yeah.
You just got to bring it to everybody's attention. I think, Americans care more about, American Idol than they do about what's going on, on the people that have all the power. So,
may I humbly make a suggestion?
Sure.
If you don't have time to write a letter to the editor of your local newspaper, just call them up and just, you know, just say, yeah, I'd like to leave a message for the editor. I think this is a big story. Please don't let go of it. Call your local radio and TV stations and talk to and ask to talk to the news desk and tell them the same thing. That'll take you, you know, 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
And finally, call Washington, D.C. Just plug your representative, your congressman, and your senator's name into Google. You know, you can find their phone numbers really fast, really easy. Call their office. Actually, they're all on MoveOn.org as well. And People for the American Way has all this stuff. In fact, on my website, there's a link that says Write Your Representatives, and if you click that, it takes you to the People for the American Way site where you can actually even compose an online letter to them. But call them up. Call them up in Washington and say, this thing stinks, and I want you to investigate it.
Absolutely.
If enough of us do that, then something will get done. And that, I think, is the absolute key to this whole thing. So.
Well, you're doing a great job, Tom. Keep at it.
Well, thank you, Joe, and we need as many of us out there, as many foot soldiers in the battle as possible. So please, you know, let me enlist you. Spread the good word, Joe. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. And our conservative alert, by the way. I thought I had the theme music here. I've lost it apparently. But our conservative alert for the day. This is sort of a small one. But I mentioned how in our conservative alert last week that the magic word that the conservatives were being told to use was angry. Use angry as an adjective when applied to Democrats. And you probably noticed for 3 days in the media the word angry preceded everything. Well, now according to the scuttlebutt that I'm hearing from the various mailing lists for conservative talk show hosts, the word to apply to Democrats and liberals is whiners. So expect to hear the word whiner on TV more than once, as if to imply, well, they're just whining, they're just complaining. Yeah, right. Anything that you can do on their end to minimize this. And now what happened with Tony Blair? In Tony Blair's case, David Kelly essentially said the same thing Joe Wilson did. There's no there. And Joe Wilson gets punished by his wife being outed. The message, of course, Wilson saying that he thinks that this goes way beyond just Karl Rove exacting revenge. That this, in fact, was a message to everybody else in the intelligence community to keep their mouths shut. And the same thing, of course, happened in the United Kingdom at the same time, the same week. David Kelly gets outed, gets dragged before a parliamentary committee to testify, raked over the coals on live television, humiliated, embarrassed, and 4 days after Robert Novak publishes his column about Joe Wilson, David Kelly commits suicide, or so most people think. There are some who are suggesting he was murdered. He was found with his wrist slit, in any case. In the United Kingdom. So Tony Blair has to show up to testify on this thing and hear from CNN about 100 anti-war protesters, some wearing masks with Pinocchio-style noses and holding banners accusing Blair of lying, jeered as the Prime Minister arrived for Thursday's hearing. Now, you know why you won't see that in the United States of America? You know why you won't see any protests of George Bush? When George Bush appears someplace, you won't see any protesters with Pinocchio noses when George W. shows up the next time to pull down $1 million for having dinner with a bunch of fat cats someplace in the United States. And you know it's going to happen in the next week or two because he keeps doing it over and over and over again. He's raised a huge war chest. My recollection, he's got $87 million now. You know why there won't be any people wearing Pinocchio masks in the view of the CNN cameras? Because of our wonderful free speech zones. Because the Bush administration has declared that the United States is not a free speech zone, that the First Amendment has been suspended, a victim of the war on terror. And therefore you and I don't have the right to peaceably assemble and petition our government for redress of grievances, to quote the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. No, sorry guys. The Constitution is toast. The Bill of Rights is history. That was all before 9/11. How many times have you heard conservatives say on television or on the radio, the world changed on 9/11? Well, yeah, it was a significant historic event. But the last time I looked, the Bill of Rights is still attached to our Constitution, even though these folks want to say that it isn't. Blair's plight and Blair's fate. Yesterday in an interview, or day before yesterday in an interview, Tony Blair said that he is going to serve out his term. He's not going to resign. Is inextricably tied to America's. This our major ally in the world, our cultural heritage, is found so much of it in England. And just this country, I mean, we both speak the same language. They're in and of itself, so much culture. And what kind of damage is this thing doing? This is Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110. Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Hey, look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over, the fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Austria.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Yeah.
Zebra.
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang and I answered the door. Just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush, what a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah's Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good old working class stainless steel microphone high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. This is Tom Hartman, live on the IE America Radio Network, the author of Bush's Brain, which is really a quite remarkable book. It's a political history of Karl Rove. James C. Moore is the author. And he wrote a commentary for BuzzFlash, guest commentary, September 30. I guess that's today, so it must be on there on today. And he says, Rove's relationship with Novak is widely known. I shared some of this with you a little earlier about Rove and Novak, but he goes on beyond that, seeing the fingerprints of Karl Rove in this thing. He says, an uncontrolled temper may be Rove's only weakness as a political counsel. In Ron Suskind's Esquire magazine article on Rove, he describes sitting outside the presidential advisor's White House office, hearing Rove scream into the telephone, "Tell him we'll F him. We'll F him like nobody ever has," end quote. I'm, deleting here. During the presidential campaign, Rove lost his cool in front of a few hundred people on the tarmac in Manchester, New Hampshire, as I stood and watched while Rove screamed at my colleague Wayne Slater about an innocuous story of mostly recycled information. End of quote. This is from today's BuzzFlash guest commentary by James C. Moore, co-author of Bush's Brain. He talks about John Weaver. John Weaver was Rove's partner when they first went into the political consulting business in Texas. And Weaver decided to go out on his own, and he hired an employee away from Rove. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? Stories start appearing in the media and start getting whispered among political circles about Weaver's personal life. Strange stories about this guy. Weaver tracks it down and finds out that the reporters said that the stories originated with Rove. But the stories were so scurrilous, so damaging to Weaver's reputation that it dried up his political business. People were afraid to go near him after they heard this stuff that Rove had been apparently spreading around, And so he left Texas and ended up as the head political strategist to John McCain. And then John McCain got trashed by George W. Bush in ways that McCain to this day says was unfair and incorrect and inaccurate. In other words, Bush lied about him in the South Carolina primaries. And so Weaver finally became a Democrat. That's the only way to get away from Rove. Strange doings here, strange doings. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
The leading Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Jane Harman, yesterday disputed the assertion by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice that there was new information to support the claim that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction before the war and was a looming threat to the United States. In a letter to CIA Director George Tenet, Committee Chairman Porter Goss and Harman criticized the intelligence community for using information that was outdated, circumstantial, and fragmentary to come to the conclusion that Iraq possessed chemical and biological weapons and had links to Al-Qaeda. Iraqis involved in the effort to write a new constitution said today that completing the document in 6 months, the goal set by Secretary of State Colin Powell last week, will be impossible to meet because of differences over how to select the drafters and more profound disagreements over the role of Islamic law and a new political system. A committee of lawyers, scholars, and religious figures that was supposed to propose a way to select delegates to a constitutional convention has not been able to agree on a preferred method, according to members of the country's governing council and others familiar with the process. The White House Monday rejected Democratic calls for a special prosecutor to probe allegations that it exposed a covert agent to punish a critic, saying the Justice Department could handle it fairly. White House spokesman Scott McClellan also denied that chief political strategist Karl Rove played a role, saying Rove had personally assured him he was not involved. Several Democrats called for a special counsel outside of the Justice Department to conduct the investigation, but the White House has rejected the proposal. Senior American military officials say that as much as 650,000 tons of ammunition remains at thousands of sites used by the former Iraqi security forces, and that much of it has not been secured and will take years to destroy. The scope of the problem is much larger than the Pentagon acknowledged 3 weeks ago when senior military officials insisted that all known munition sites in Iraq had been secured. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A 6-foot-tall, 150-pound statue of Mr. Potato Head was stolen Friday from the driveway of an estate in Newport, Rhode Island. So far, no ransom note has been found. For the IE America Radio Network, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Did you ever see the old science fiction horror movie, The Thing? That fictional thing came from outer space and threatened to destroy our country. But today, we've got a real-life thing that comes from within, grows bigger and bigger every year, and is steadily devouring our democracy. Corporate money. We've seen the White House, Congress, and both major parties be consumed by this big money special interest thing. But now, corporate contributors are even planning to swallow the presidential nominating conventions of the Republicans and Democrats. The thing never sleeps. After the Watergate scandal of 1972, these quadrennial conventions have been financed with public funds, a move intended to keep the corrupting power of corporate money out of the process. By 1980, however, a little loophole appeared allowing the sponsoring cities of the conventions to offset expenses by raising a limited amount of money from local corporations. Having gotten its finger in that little loophole, the thing began to wriggle, enlarging the hole until its whole hand was inside. By 2000, there were more corporate executives and lobbyists at the two conventions than delegates, with the likes of Microsoft and AT&T paying $2 million each to worm their way inside where they could schmooze with the top office holders of both parties and win favor for their special governmental needs. And now, at next year's two presidential conventions, corporations are expected to put up more than $100 million to pay about 3/5 of the total cost of the conventions. But the thing wants it all, and political operatives of both parties seem willing to sell. As a Republican election commissioner says, I look forward to the day when Americans can turn on their TVs and watch the Nokia Democratic Convention or the AT&T Republican National Convention. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the thing, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, patriots from coast to coast. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth in radio broadcasting. Has the corrupting influence of corporate cash in politics put our very lives at risk? This is, I think, going to be one of the big issues. It's back in the days of Teddy Roosevelt. And by the way, if our chat room is alive and full of folks, if you want to drop in, just go to TomHartman.com or LiberalTalkRadio.com. It'll take you there. And click on the chat room. When you get into the forum on CompuServe, click the chat button, and boom, you're there. And also, you can find access to our web streams there. We're on RadioPower.org, Live365.com, IEAmericaRadio.com, and, of course, on radio stations from coast to coast and the Sirius satellite. Anyhow, Has the corrupting influence of corporate cash in politics put our very lives at risk? Back in the days of Teddy Roosevelt, back in the early years of this last century, of the 20th century, and really all the way back to the founding of America, there was this idea that medicine was something that was done for the people. That if people went into medicine, they did it because they had a love and compassion and a need to serve others. When I was a kid, doctors were you know, the top end of the middle class. They were not the people didn't go into medicine to get rich. Hospitals were required to be run by nonprofit corporations. So the decisions were always made in the context of what's best for the patient and the community, not what's going to make the most profit for the stockholders. Again, I'm not opposed to for-profit corporations. I own one myself. But it is entirely appropriate that for-profit corporations be limited to those areas where making money is a fine thing. You know, you're going to make toys, you're going to make sell magazines. But in healthcare, in this country, we had laws on the books, and some states still do. There are still a few states where Blue Cross Blue Shield has to be a nonprofit. Here in Vermont right now, they're going through this process of trying to get a law changed so that they can become a for-profit corporation. In much of the United, in most of the United States, if, to the best of my knowledge, all the states, there were laws, essentially from the founding of this country, and you know, prior to the time that there were laws, certainly the laws didn't come along with the initial founders, but there was a moral sentiment that was simply reflected in the laws that came along in the 20th century that said that our healthcare system is for we the people. It's part of the commons in a way. It's something that is there to help us all out. Now, why am I going into this rant about this thing? Today in today's paper, here's this article. An Associated Press article by Randolph E. Schmidt. And I guarantee you this thing, if Mr. Schmidt didn't get his leak from the right wingers, from one of the right wing think tanks or from the GOP, then whoever fed him this information did. Because here's the story that Americans all across the country, tens of millions of Americans, read when they opened their newspapers today. The headline. Nearly 90% of drug imports checked found to violate U.S. law. Now, that would make you think that imported drugs are dangerous, right? Well, it turns out that I believe that our Vermont congressional delegation is at the forefront of this, but there are several congresspeople who are aggressively pushing legislation or changes in FDA rules that would make it easy for people to simply import drugs. And in fact, here in Vermont, every month or so, there's a couple of buses. They go all around the state picking up elderly people, and they bus them up to Canada so that they can buy their prescription drugs at the Canadian pharmacies. Because some drugs that cost over $100 to fill a prescription here cost less than 10 up there. I mean, it is literally, in some cases, 10 to 1, 15 to 1 difference in the price. And it's the exact same drug made by the exact same company. The difference is that in Canada, they have a single-payer health care system, or a health care system that has controls on how much profit corporations can make. And they say, hey, you want to sell your drugs here? This is what we'll allow you to sell them for. Show us your books. Show us that you need to make, you know, you need to charge more than that in order to earn a fair profit. We'll allow that. But we're not going to let you price gouge our customers or our citizens. Whereas in the United States, according to the religion of the conservatives, and I'm telling you, it's a religion, it's a belief system with no evidence to back it up. In fact, all the evidence is contrary. All the evidence shows that the conservative economic belief system, every time it's been tried, runs a country into the ground or ends up with that country being fascistic. But nonetheless, the conservative belief system is, well, if you just leave the corporations alone, they will do what's best. And yes, Ayn Rand was right on that regard. When it comes to a small business in a local community, because the local community can exert social and even legal, if necessary, pressure, but the social pressure is a big one in a local community. I mean, if there's a local car dealer here in the town that I live in Vermont, and they start, you know, overcharging people on car repairs, how long do you think they're going to stick around? There's 9,000 people in the town I live in. So you could argue that there's something to be said for that this notion that, well, if we just let corporations do their thing, the market will correct their excesses. Sure, in a small town. And that's why you can find quotes to that effect from Jefferson and many of the founders, because they were, and actually most of Jefferson's were cautionary, because he was very worried about Alexander Hamilton's vision of New York City and of big cities all over America, and America becoming a manufacturing and metropolitan center for the world, because he thought that then you wouldn't be able to have that kind of social pressure. So anyhow, back to this story. Nearly 90% of drug imports checked found to violate U.S. law. Here's the article by Randolph E. Schmid, S-C-H-M-I-D. Nearly 90% of imported mail-order drugs stopped at the borders in a special crackdown by government agents were potentially dangerous, the FDA said Monday. Now, immediately, you think, oh, my God, and those congressmen and those senators and those people in Washington, D.C. who want us to be able to bring drugs in from outside the country because they're cheaper, they must be nuts. 90% of the drugs brought in were dangerous, according to the FDA. The article goes on. Of 1,153 imported drugs collected by FDA and customs agents, 1,019 were found to be illegal. They included drugs that had been withdrawn from the U.S. market, animal drugs never approved for human use, counterfeit drugs, drugs with dangerous interactions, drugs with dangerous side effects, and narcotics, officials said. Now, they are not issuing the stats on this, and so I can't tell you what the actual numbers are. But let's apply a little common sense here. At least once a day, I get some kind of spam email offering me anything from Viagra to codeine to Valium via the internet from Mexico or Costa Rica or wherever. I mean, I see them in the headers. I delete them on red, so I don't know what countries they're offering this stuff from. But it's like, you too can buy your drugs here. And there are people who are importing drugs into the United States inappropriately and perhaps illegally. But notice the language here. First of all, they say, of the 1,153 imported drugs collected, 1,019 were found to be illegal. Well, that would probably be just about anything that comes in on a prescription that people don't have a prescription for, right? And then they say this includes drugs with dangerous side effects. Drugs with dangerous side effects? Have you ever seen any of these commercials on TV for drugs that the pharmaceutical companies are spending their hundreds of millions of dollars in profits to get you to buy their products? Yes, it'll be a wonderful day if you just take our drug.
Side effects include impotence, sudden death, cardiac failure, head falling off, legs,
and... It's like, show me a pharmaceutical that doesn't have a half a page in the physician's desk reference devoted to its dangerous side effects. Show me one. Even placebos have dangerous side effects. If people think they're taking a... So when you look at the 90% of the imported mail-order drugs included drugs that had dangerous side effects. I'm telling you, this is a non-story. This is spin. The article goes on to say imported drugs have become a hot political issue in recent years, with many Americans seeking lower-cost products from foreign sources. Buying drugs from Canada is particularly popular because U.S.-produced drugs cost less there. Responding to public concerns about high drug prices, Congress has been considering ways to permit at least some drug imports from Canada and other major countries. FDA Associate Commissioner William Hubbard said that even if the currently proposed bill were passed, only about 20% of the drugs seized in the current crackdown would have been allowed through. Well, that gives us a clue. Most of what they were getting in this crackdown were things that you wouldn't be able to buy from a pharmacy anyway. They were the animal drugs never approved for human use, counterfeit drugs, narcotics that, you know, it's just not appropriate for people to be taking, drugs that have been withdrawn from the U.S. That, those are not the drugs that Congress is suggesting Americans should be able to buy. Representative Gil Gernecht, Republican of Minnesota, sponsor of legislation to ease importation rules. This is not just a Democrat thing, by the way. Republicans are involved in it, too. Said the FDA is trying to, quote, undermine a legislative initiative the American people desperately want and need. Now, why would they want to do that? Why would the FDA be doing that? Well, the plot thickens. You get the rest of the story if you read the front page article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, Bogus Medicines Put Spotlight on World of Drug Distributors. And this is the real shocker. This is the real scandal in America. And this is the real story that's being played out. I'll share this with you when we come back from this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good. You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween. Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood. And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you, you're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you. Information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions, and thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave. And the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else? A fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to californiaprivacy.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. From yesterday's Wall Street Journal, bogus medicines put spotlight on world of drug distributors. By the way, where I'm going with all this is that we must fundamentally change the way we deal with this stuff in the United States. It's time to give democracy and governance back to we the people and take it away from large, very large corporations. Because they are killing us. In fact, our question for the hour, has the corrupting influence of corporate cash in politics put our very lives at risk? Prescription drugs, the Wall Street Journal writes, are among the most tightly regulated products in the American marketplace, with strict oversight of drug factories and pharmacies. But in between lies a vast industry with far less regulation that's now getting a lot more scrutiny than drug distributors. They talk about how 200,000 bottles of counterfeit Lipitor were found. There have been all they're actually phony drugs. The original story that I started this hour with was, you know, about people getting bad drugs because they're importing them from overseas. But it turns out that most people in America who are getting bad drugs are buying them at their local drugstore. Why? Because there was this law passed by the FDA that said that if a drug manufacturer sells a drug to a wholesaler, wholesaler A, and then wholesaler A sells it to wholesaler B, and then wholesaler B sells it to wholesaler C, and wholesaler C sells it to a pharmacy, the pharmacy has to know that it came from C to B to A from the manufacturer. It's called a pedigree. There has to be a paper trail that comes with the drugs. But the FDA changed this a few years ago. The FDA later clarified the definition of an authorized wholesaler. What they said basically was that an authorized wholesaler, now the original meaning of this was somebody who buys directly from the drug company and sells directly to the pharmacy, that they don't have to handle the paperwork because, you know, they're buying right from the drug company and selling right to the pharmacy. Well, they changed the rules so that if a company has bought from a drug company twice in 2 years, they're an authorized wholesaler. So to quote the Wall Street Journal, it was a loophole big enough to allow a huge number of companies through, and it eventually made the pedigree requirement meaningless. If a drug was bought and sold 7 times and the 8th purchaser could call itself authorized by that drug's manufacturer, the 9th buyer might get no record of the previous 7 distributors. So the FDA tried to fix this, but the effort raised a huge industry outcry, says the Wall Street Journal. Additionally, the Small Business Administration petitioned the FDA to consider its rule, saying it could bring, quote, less competition, higher prices, and lost jobs, end quote. Several lawmakers complained about the rule, and in 2000, Congress ordered the FDA to study the issue before moving forward. You get what's going on? You want bad drugs, you find them in your drugstore. Why is this? It has to do with money in politics. Absolutely, money in politics. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Rob from Op-Ed News is on the line. Rob, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. It's Rob from Op-Ed News.
Hey, Rob. Great to hear from you again. What's up? We just have a minute or so here. I can hold you over the break if you need.
Well, I think you're right on top of it. The right wing has been trying to privatize everything about America, and that's one way to get rid of government and get rid of America and what it owns. And we have to reverse that. We have to deprivatize and take things back. And that's another way that we have to take back America.
Absolutely. And that is their agenda. I mean, their agenda is neo-feudalism. It's a rule by the rich. It's the destruction of the American democracy in a constitutionally limited republic. That is the conservative agenda. When you look at it carefully, it is so obvious. Rob, thanks for the comment. I appreciate your calling and sharing that. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Integrity and passion in broadcasting truth. We'll be right back after this break.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new study says ozone pollution at ground level could increase substantially over the next century. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Ozone is a poisonous gas that's a major component of smog. A new study says this kind of pollution is likely to get worse across the northern hemisphere during the 21st century. Ozone forms when car exhaust and factory emissions hit warm air in sunlight. It can damage the human respiratory system and aggravate health problems for people with asthma. Michael Prather is an atmospheric chemist at the University of California at Irvine. He worked with a team of researchers on computer simulations to predict ozone pollution in the future. Their work shows that ozone levels could increase considerably in the northern hemisphere by the year 2100. The amount of increase will largely depend on human population growth and levels of fossil fuel consumption. Prather says the increase would push everyday levels of ozone closer to the concentrations that are considered unsafe. That, in turn, would mean that short-term pollution events, like traffic jams on a hot summer day, would push ozone levels past the safety threshold more often. Prather says ozone pollution at ground level is completely separate from ozone depletion in the stratosphere. That ozone occurs naturally and protects us from the sun's ultraviolet radiation.
There's this constant confusion between stratospheric ozone, where we're afraid of an ozone hole and ozone depletion, and the near-surface stuff we have to breathe. People think you can take the near-surface stuff and ship it into the stratosphere and save the ozone hole and save our lungs at the same time. And the answer is no, they're totally different scales. The amount that hurts our lungs is still a very low concentration compared to the stratosphere.
That's Michael Prather of the University of California at Irvine. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Rastaman vibration, yeah, positive. Iron eye vibration, yeah, positive.
Welcome to the True People's Radio, the place where smart people get their news. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. As the corrupting influence of corporate cash in politics put our very lives at risk. You'll recall when I was setting this up in the earlier part of the hour, I said back in the days of Teddy Roosevelt, if you went into medicine, it was to help folks out, and you weren't, and we weren't seeing these huge numbers of uninsured people. Here we have the number of Americans who lack health insurance climbed by 5.7% in 2000. I mean, okay, we had a large number of uninsured people, but it didn't break the bank for them, is the point. They could afford health care back then. Doctors were not that expensive. Hospitals weren't that expensive. Everything was done on a nonprofit basis. Communities had hospitals for the poor. Anybody could get services, health care services, in the United States up until just very recently. Up until the Reagan-Bush revolution, the conservative, the religion of the conservatives taking over. The number of Americans who lack health insurance climbed by 5.7% in 2002. Climbed by 5.7%. How many human beings does that represent? 900,000 full-time workers lost insurance in 2002. 43.6 million people in America have no way of paying for health care if they get in trouble. And under new rules promulgated by this administration, many hospitals can means test people. They can refuse to take them if they can't pay their bills and prove it in advance. Now, how did Teddy Roosevelt, how did they think about this back in the old days? Say, well, it's the way it's always been in America. In fact, we're going to have Howard Zinn on in the next hour. We'll ask him about, you know, America, how the founders' opinions on this. But everybody says, well, you know, we didn't have national health care back in the 1900s and 1800s and rah, rah, rah. Well, we didn't because we didn't have people like Bill Frist gaming the system. You got Bill Frist, who became a multimillionaire by buying not-for-profit hospitals, converting them to for-profit, and wringing them dry. His family has made a fortune. The guy's a multimillionaire. It's so funny. I was driving someplace the other day, and I was listening to one of these right-wing talk show hosts, and he snaps. Somebody calls up and says something about Bill Frist being a millionaire. And he goes, Bill Frist is a millionaire because he's a brilliant heart surgeon. Yeah, right. Sure, he's a competent doctor. There's a lot of them out there. But most heart surgeons don't end up with the kind of net worth that Bill Frist does because their families don't own a chain of hospitals. Come on, give me a break. So what did Teddy Roosevelt think about this? Well, Teddy Roosevelt actually coined the phrase living wage. I mean, it probably wasn't him. It was the whole progressive movement at the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, the end of the 19th, early 20th century. But here's what Teddy Roosevelt had to say, and I'm gonna share just about a minute of a speech that he gave that was recorded by Thomas Edison back sometime around 1913. Here's Teddy Roosevelt calling for a living wage, and where this gets to with health care is what he says should define a living wage. What are the definitions here? Here's Theodore Roosevelt, former president of the United States.
We stand for a living wage.
We stand for living wage.
Wages are subnormal if they fail to provide a living for those who devote their time and energy to industrial occupation.
Wages are subnormal if they fail to take care of folks who are engaged in industrial occupations. Here, you know, let's see.
The monetary equivalent of a living wage varies according to local conditions.
Varies locally.
But must include enough to secure the elements of a normal standard of living.
So now we're defining a living wage, and it must include enough. Now, what is a normal standard of living in the mind of our president back in the early part of the 20th century, in the minds of our politicians, in the minds of the average Americans back then? What were the components of a fair wage.
A standard high enough to make morality possible.
Enough to make morality possible. Okay. In other words, somebody doesn't have to go out and prostitute themselves or do something, you know, commit a crime in order to feed their family.
Provide for education and recreation.
Provide for education and recreation. They can put their kids through school. They can take vacations.
Care for immature members of the family.
To care for immature members of the family. In other words, enough to raise your children and to pay for child care if necessary.
To maintain the family during periods of sickness.
To maintain the family during periods of sickness.
And to permit a reasonable saving for old age.
And to permit a reasonable saving for old age. These were the components of a living wage. Roosevelt had a few things to add. They're worth listening to.
Hours of expenses if they fail to afford the worker sufficient time to recuperate and return to his work thoroughly refreshed.
He said hours are excessive if they don't afford the worker enough time to return to his work recuperated and refreshed. And this is where he was calling. He ended up saying this: the seven-day work week is immoral, and we need to have at least a six-day work week. Keep in mind, 1913, Theodore Roosevelt. So, for most, as I said, when I was a kid, this, by and large, wasn't an issue for many people. Now, certainly it was for some, but every county. I remember when I was a little kid, I was around 7 years old, and I put my hands through a fish tank, bouncing off a fish tank with my brother and I, bouncing back and forth in the living room, and just, you know, cut up the sides of both arms really badly. Still have the scars. And my mom took me to Ingham Medical Hospital. Ingham Medical Hospital was the county hospital. It wasn't that you know, we were poor. Dad had a good job, and he had health insurance. He had Blue Cross Blue Shield, so, you know, we had insurance that would pay for it. But it was the county hospital. It was where people who also didn't have insurance could go. The counties no longer run hospitals. They're being privatized. And so now corporations are trying to get their tentacles deeper and deeper and deeper into our lives. We reach the point where there's nothing left, where the corporations run the whole show. And we no longer have democracy in the United States. We have feudalism. I'm telling you, this is the direction the conservatives want to take us, is back to feudalism. Their vision is quite clear. They are proposing a system of governance that worked, in their opinion, just fine for 400 or 500 years in England. Rule by the rich. The people don't have rights, they have privileges. And they are owned by the local lords. Here we have in the Wall Street Journal, to bridge the ideological divide over modernizing Medicare. Modernizing Medicare? House and Senate negotiators are experimenting with options that would give the government more flexibility. Don't you love these words? Modernizing. Flexibility. They're right out of Newt Gingrich's word list. Well, maybe not. I don't have the word list in front of me. But if they're not, they should be. In how it opens the health care program to include more private health insurance plans. The challenge is to satisfy both Republican conservatives who believe a more free market approach will cut long-term Medicare costs, and centrists from both parties who fear that costs would rise for the elderly and disabled beneficiaries who remain in the current fee-for-service program. This, the article by David Rogers and Sarah Locke, in Congress Entertains Medicare Options, yesterday's Wall Street Journal. The challenge is to satisfy Republican conservatives who believe a more free market approach will cut Medicare costs. I'm telling you, this is a religion. And it is a toxic religion, because this belief has led to another article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, healthcare costs to rise in 2004. That's next year, folks. The subhead is employers expect increase of 12%, fifth year in a row of double-digit gains. 5 years in a row. Roughly since about the time, well, I guess it was a little earlier than that, when Bill Frist and his family started buying up not-for-profit hospitals, making them private, and squeezing the money out and putting it in their own pockets. The good old Republican way. Employers' health care costs are expected to rise 12% next year, says the article by Vanessa Furman, marking the fifth year in a row of double-digit percentage increases and a doubling in costs since 1999. Get this. The cost of health care in... Do you remember 1999? It was just a few years ago. 3 years of the Bush administration, the last year and a half of the Clinton administration, and we have seen, and the Clintons, in my opinion, were, you know, they started out good. They said, you know, yes, we got to do something about health care, and they ran up against that huge brick wall of the incredible power and money held by the pharmaceutical industry and the hospital industry and the insurance industry, principally the insurance industry, actually. And they and there are some who suggest, some Democrats, Democratic strategists who suggest that the reason that the Republicans were so relentless in their pursuit of Bill Clinton, that they went after, oh, there was the Travelgate scandal. They fired some people in the White House travel office. And then there were the papers from the Rose Law Office. Can you imagine they were looking for billing records, Hillary's billing records? From the 1960s or 70s? Can you imagine? I mean, are they looking into Laura Bush's activities back then? Are they looking into the billing records of Dick Cheney when he ran Halliburton? Are they looking into the insider stock trading that George W. did back then? No. So why did they go after Clinton with such vitriol and anger, with absolutely take no enemies? They spent tens of millions of dollars. Well, some would suggest that they did it because he had the temerity to challenge the insurance industry. How dare he? That is an unforgivable sin. And this industry, and those aligned with it, the pharmaceutical industry, the private hospital industry, all those who make money off us being sick, when we get sick, those who make money off us, we're setting up this payday for themselves. And in the last 5 years, they have taken it. Boy, have they taken it. You are seeing the conservative vision writ large. Healthcare costs since 1999 in the United States have doubled. Doubled. And so what, you know, what is going to be done about this? Well, as Vanessa Furman writes in this Wall Street Journal article, healthcare costs to rise in 2004, and many employers plan again to shift some of the increase next year to employees with some combination of higher premiums, deductibles, or copays, and benefit changes. Employees on average are paying 50% more in healthcare premiums this year than 3 years ago. When George, and end of quote from the article, and I would add, when George W. was installed as President of the United States. Has the corrupting influence of corporate cash and politics put our very lives at risk? I would say yes. And it's time for us to do something about it. It's time for us to start speaking out. It's time for us to say, no, we're not going to take this anymore. Here, Congress entertains Medicare options, this religion of the conservatives. The proposal would break new ground by requiring wealthier seniors, those individuals with incomes over $60,000, to pay a greater share of Medicare costs. You get this? Now those believers in wealth as a great thing. If you're a wealthy veteran, you can't get veterans benefits if you make more than $30,000 a year. And if you're a wealthy senior, if you have an income over $60,000 a year, you can't get Medicaid. You can run up a $60,000 bill in a weekend in a hospital, particularly if you're a senior citizen. I'm paying $700 a month for health insurance, and I'm 53 and in good health. Can you imagine, or 52, I guess I am. Can you imagine, I mean, I don't know what my premium would be if I was 70, but I have to guess it would be at least in the thousands, because they know that they're going to spend that. I mean, so $60,000 a year, that's after taxes, so you figure that, you know, the person has $30,000 or $40,000 a year left over. And out of that, they're going to buy health insurance that's going to cost them, what, $20,000 a year? So they're going to live on $10,000 a year? Now, I don't want to be in the position of saying somebody who makes $60,000 a year isn't well off. I mean, consider the people who are making a lot less than that. But they would be eligible for Medicaid. This is just nuts. You want to cut it off? Okay, cut it off. Cut it off at $200,000 a year, $300,000 a year, something like that. Bill Frist, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, is promoting a payment system that starting in 2006 would meld bids from private plans with government payment rates to set the level of federal subsidies. The payments are being called blended benchmarks. What they're trying to do is allow corporations to get in bed with government and define and determine the parameters of Medicare and Medicaid, so that they can get their hands on all this cash and on our throats. You got to stop them. Tell your elected officials, stop them. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I have a headache. I will take Tylenol now.
It's easy to forget sometimes. You don't have to do things the same way over and over. You have a choice.
I always take Tylenol.
But you could take Advil. Advil liquid gels are proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
I need data.
Clinical tests prove it. Advil liquid gels, advanced liquid-filled capsules, rush relief where you need it.
So I have a choice. I can choose Advil.
When was the last time you rethought your pain medicine? For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Telling the truth that multinational corporations don't want you to hear, discussing solutions and not false promises. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Single-payer health care, in my opinion, is the solution. Get the corporations out of this altogether. We need to go back to the way that that health care was run in this country for centuries. First, by common agreement. Everybody agreed, if you're in medicine, you're entitled to be well-paid, but you're not in it to get rich. There are some things, like the survival of human beings, that we're simply not going to throw into the profit hopper. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to call. David in San Francisco's on the line. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up, David?
Yeah, hi, Tom. I had just a couple of things. First of it, I'm glad you're using this expression, religion, as you're describing it, because in many ways it is, but it's the religion of fascism.
Yes.
If you look at the definition of fascism, one of the major pronouncements of Rocco, or of Mussolini in Rocco's treatise on fascism, is that the citizen has no, can expect nothing from the state. They shall not expect anything for the taxes they pay, and they make it very clear in their treatise on fascism that the citizen's only duty is to the state. And then, you know, this whole pronouncement, it's kind of interesting because if you look at what's going on in Iraq right now, the whole layout of the $87 billion that they want to spend, they're essentially laying out money that's going to go toward the infrastructure, toward the economic well-being of the economy there. But they're not really going to lay out any money for the human beings that live there. And it's kind of funny because they essentially, if they're doing budget cuts here in America, budget cuts that are crippling our schools, hospitals, infrastructure, essentially they're disinvesting in America and they're reinvesting overseas. So is
right, which is what our corporations have been doing for some time. David, that music means we're at the end of the hour. I thank you for your call and thanks for sharing that with you. The dictionary definition from the new dictionary anyway, 1987, fascism is the merging of state and corporate interests, the merging of state and business interests together with belligerent nationalism.
Welcome to America in 2003. This is Tom Hartman. We can do something about it. Contact your political, your elected officials and let them know your thoughts on these issues. We'll be back after the news.
From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
The White House Monday rejected Democratic calls for a special prosecutor to probe allegations that it exposed a covert agent to punish a critic, saying the Justice Department could handle it fairly. White House spokesman Scott McClellan also denied that chief political strategist Karl Rove played a role, saying Rove had personally assured him he was not involved. Several Democrats called for a special counsel outside of the Justice Department to conduct the investigation, but the White House has rejected the proposal. Senior American military officials say that as much as 650,000 tons of ammunition remains at thousands of sites used by the former Iraqi security forces, and that much of it has not been secured and will take years to destroy. The scope of the problem is much larger than the Pentagon acknowledged 3 weeks ago when senior military officials insisted that all known munition sites in Iraq had been secured. The leading Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Jane Harman, yesterday disputed the assertion by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice that there was new information to support the claim that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction before the war and was a looming threat to the United States. In a letter to CIA Director George Tenet, Committee Chairman Porter Goss and Harman criticized the intelligence community for using information that was outdated, circumstantial, and fragmentary to come to the conclusion that Iraq possessed chemical and biological weapons and had links to al-Qaeda. Iraqis involved in the effort to write a new constitution said today that completing the document in 6 months, the goal set by Secretary of State Colin Powell last week, will be impossible to meet because of differences over how to select the drafters and more profound disagreements over the role of Islamic law and a new political system. A committee of lawyers, scholars, and religious figures that was supposed to propose a way to select delegates to a constitutional convention has not been able to agree on a preferred method, according to members of the country's governing council and others familiar with the process. More after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Six record labels have withdrawn a $300 million lawsuit against a 66-year-old woman who has never downloaded a song. Not only that, as a Mac user, she couldn't even run the Windows-based Kazaa software. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Remember that scholarship you were hoping for to help pay for your son's college?
Hey, Bill, your kid's running the wrong way.
Well, I wouldn't count on it. But there is something you can count on. We're College Loan Corporation, a company dedicated to helping you finance or refinance your college education with interest rates as low as 2.63%. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE today and find out how you can take advantage of the lowest interest rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Did you ever see the old science fiction horror movie, The Thing? That fictional thing came from outer space and threatened to destroy our country. But today, we've got a real-life thing that comes from within, grows bigger and bigger every year, and is steadily devouring our democracy. Corporate money. We've seen the White House, Congress, and both major parties be consumed by this big money special interest thing. But now, corporate contributors are even planning to swallow the presidential nominating conventions of the Republicans and Democrats. The thing never sleeps. After the Watergate scandal of 1972, these quadrennial conventions have been financed with public funds, a move intended to keep the corrupting power of corporate money out of the process. By 1980, however, a little loophole appeared allowing the sponsoring cities of the conventions to offset expenses by raising a limited amount of money from local corporations. Having gotten its finger in that little loophole, the thing began to wriggle, enlarging the hole until its whole hand was inside. By 2000, there were more corporate executives and lobbyists at the two conventions than delegates, with the likes of Microsoft and AT&T paying $2 million each to worm their way inside where they could schmooze with the top office holders of both parties and win favor for their special governmental needs. And now, at next year's two presidential conventions, corporations are expected to put up more than $100 million to pay about three-fifths of the total cost of the conventions. But the thing wants it all, and political operatives of both parties seem willing to sell. As a Republican election commissioner says, I look forward to the day when Americans can turn on their TVs and watch the Nokia Democratic Convention or the AT&T Republican National Convention. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop the thing, call Public Campaign, 202-293-0222.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman and the IE America Radio Network. We're broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, also from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite system, and on several different internet web stations as well, IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, RadioPower.org, and with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can find it all by going to LiberalTalkRadio.com or ProgressiveTalkRadio.com, and you'll find links also to our live chat room where there's a whole bunch of folks at this moment discussing the program and our topics. Today, I am very pleased and very honored to have Dr. Howard Zinn on as our guest for this hour. Dr. Howard Zinn is Professor Emeritus of Political Science at Boston University, the author of 14 books. He's mostly known for The People's History of the United States.
Zinn worked in the shipyards before serving as an Air Force bombardier in World War II and has received the Thomas Merton Award, the Eugene V. Debs Award, the Upton Sinclair Award, and the Lannan Literary Award. Dr. Zinn, you and I both spoke at the Unitarian Universalist Convention in Boston a few months ago. I heard your keynote presentation. I thought it was absolutely brilliant, and I am so pleased to have you on the program today. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
A couple of questions. I'd like to start with just some foundational stuff. Let's define terms. Can you define imperialism?
Well, imperialism, I guess people will define it in different ways, but I think that imperialism is where one country is taking advantage of another country, is asserting its dominance over another country. It may be outright colonial, like England with India, or the United States with the Philippines. Or it may not involve actually occupied country. It may involve simply exerting a lot of influence on that country because you're more powerful, because you can establish a military base there, because economically you can put pressure on it. And so, so imperialism represents a situation of inequality between two countries in which one country takes advantage of the other country.
By that definition, then, the United States has been an imperial power for, at least since the Spanish-American War. I mean, when did we start putting...
Probably, although I suppose if you go back to the Mexican War and you consider that we fought a war between 1846 and 1848 with Mexico, in which we took half of Mexican territory. That was a kind of imperial war. But you're probably right that, the real expansion of the United States into other parts of the world beyond this continent started with 1898. And there's an example of two different kinds of imperialism, and that is, in 1898, we went into Cuba, presumably to free the Cubans from Spain, because Cuba was a Spanish colony.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it was successful. We eliminated the Spanish rule from Cuba, but we then became the dominant force in Cuba. Not as an outright colony of ours, but the United States established a military base, which we still have at Guantanamo. We wrote a very important part of the Cuban Constitution. Our corporations moved in and became economically dominant in Cuba. So that was one kind of imperialism. Actually, quite close when you think of it to what we've been doing in Iraq, where we go in presumably to free the Iraqis from Saddam Hussein. We're successful. We get rid of Saddam Hussein, but they don't get rid of us. And our corporations move in. As they're moving in now, I read the daily headlines and Mary, right?
It's a feeding frenzy.
Absolutely. The corporations are moving in. They're going to make a lot of money out of this supposed liberating venture. And of course, we're not liberating them, just as we didn't liberate the Cubans.
Or the Filipinos at the same time.
Well, now what happened, of course, right after the war in Cuba with Spain, as we moved into the Philippines, and even more farther reach for the American Empire. And there we didn't simply insert a military base and corporate power. We actually took over the Philippines. I mean, that was outright crass colonialism, imperialism in its sort of purest form. But those two situations are examples of two different kinds of American imperialism. And today, American imperialism takes all sorts of forms. I mean, we have military bases in over 100 countries in the world. When you have that, you are going to exert influence over that country. We have enough money so we can bribe countries. You remember the other day how Bush was angry because Senator Kennedy said that the United States, that the Bush administration, was bribing other countries to support us in the UN. And Bush was indignant. How dare you say we're bribing them? But of course, Kennedy was right. That's exactly what we were doing. We were offering Turkey billions of dollars so that they would allow us to use their territory and their troops to go into Iraq.
Right. And we paid them, as I recall, $1 million per soldier.
Yeah, that's... I guess each soldier would have liked to have that personally, directly.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if the turn toward an imperial power. First of all, I'd like to deal with some of the historical stuff here. I find it fascinating. I think many of my listeners do too. And you're one of the world's leading experts on this stuff. And I'm so pleased that we can discuss this. If this turn toward imperialism happened in the United States at the end of the Gilded Age, or toward the end of the 1800s, 1898. That coincided with the rise of the populist movement in the United States. There was a strong populist movement asserting itself at that time. Do you see a relationship between those two?
Well, now actually, the populist movement was most powerful in this country in the 1880s and 1890s, just before the Spanish-American War.
But they were still having victories, up until 1920.
They were still having victories. In the early part of the 20th century, the populist movement merged with something called the progressive movement. But also in the early part of the 20th century, the populist movement took on the form of a radical labor movement, the IWW. Many of the former populists became members of the Socialist Party, because the Socialist movement was very strong in the United States in the early part of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a connection, the connection that you were talking about between the two, that is, between the populist movement, progressive movement, radical movement on the one side, and American imperialism on the other, was that these radical people, whether they were farmers or workers, they opposed American imperialism. There was an American anti-imperialist movement in the United States, which became especially strong when the United States went into the Philippines. And there was a lot of protest against the United States going into the Philippines. And Mark Twain, William James, they spoke very strongly, eloquently against what was happening in the Philippines.
Well, I'm wondering if, in your opinion, there might be some parallels between today's situation. That is, you have a situation where the populist and progressive movements and the Wobblies and all of those things, in some cases or in some ways, you could argue, came out of life is rough here at home. And so rather than responding to that, starting particularly with the Republican administration of what's-his-name right after Cleveland, McKinley. Leading up through Teddy Roosevelt and on, that rather than respond to that with genuine reform of the system that would reduce the power of the corporations and those who would benefit from the imperialist rejuvenation, they responded by creating overseas wars that then polarize the country, and you get, and if you can just get a critical threshold, more than half the people to support you, then bingo, you've got it.
No, you're making a very important point, and that is wars are very effective for the administration in power in stifling internal discontent. People at home are getting angry, working people, farmers, they're getting angry because they see the corporations becoming all powerful. They see wealth gravitating to the top. They're having a hard time making a living. They're unemployed. At such a time, it's very convenient then to suddenly arouse patriotic fervor. We're at war with Spain, where the country must unite. We're at war in the Philippines, the country must unite. And in this way, they try to stifle the discontent that is coming from people who are having a hard time. That's what's happening today. I mean, the unemployment rate is rising, and people, not only people at the working class level, people at the middle class, professional level, business level, are losing jobs. Just in today's paper, the number of people without health insurance has risen from sort of 41 million to 43 million. That's a huge number of people without health insurance. And people see that Bush is asking for, you know, another $86 billion for the war. Going around the country, as I have been going in the last few weeks and talking to people, I find that people have been really aroused by that headline, Bush asks $86, $87 billion more for the war, because they know that that money is coming out of a fund, a national treasury, that could be used for health insurance, could be used for education, could be used to provide jobs for people. People know that. And and so the Bush administration has been using September 11th, using the war on terrorism, the so-called war on terrorism, because you can't really make war on something as diffuse as terrorism. Using
an abstraction.
Using September 11th, using the invasion of Afghanistan and the invasion of Iraq to try to build up a united patriotic fervor and have people forget about what is happening in their own lives.
Right. And ignore their own deficiencies.
We're
speaking with Dr. Howard Zinn. If I may interrupt you, sir, I'm sorry. We have a commercial break here that we've got to take, but we'll continue this conversation right after the break. We're speaking with Dr. Howard Zinn, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at Boston University, author of The People's History of the United States and numerous other books, one of America's national treasures. Howard Zinn, our guest today here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Oh, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. here on the IE America Radio Network.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. What is the future of America and how can progressives help to influence it? We're speaking with Dr. Howard Zinn, author of The People's History of the United States and numerous other books. Dr. Zinn, how do you respond to those who say that the founders of America and in our early years the consensus was that they would not have envisioned or agree with the idea of health care for all or a welfare system as we have seen, you know, as we're kind of halfway into it, that this would be antithetical to their worldview?
Probably true. That is,
you think so? I mean, I read Tom Paine ranting at length about the need for...
That's Tom Paine, but Tom Paine did not represent the views of most of the founding fathers. No, but Tom Paine was the radical voice of the American Revolution. But on the other hand, you know, the founding fathers set up a constitution which in the main would serve the interests of the slave owners and the bondholders and the merchants. And I think it's a great mistake to base our decisions about what is right today on the question of what would the founding fathers have wanted. The founding fathers wanted slavery. The founding fathers wanted to suppress a farmer's rebellion in western Massachusetts. The founding fathers did not give the vote to women. The founding fathers wanted to maintain the power of the elite in the colony. So we can't go by what the founding fathers could have wanted. We have to go by what is right. What is right is that everybody deserves health care in this country and that money should not be an obstacle.
Well, how then it becomes an issue of that in our government we have, I mean, there is the general welfare defined in the preamble of the Constitution.
Well, they use the phrase general welfare, but, you know, they don't say what that means exactly.
Right, so we get to define it.
Hmm?
So we get to define it.
Yeah, I think we should define it today in light of the situation today. We should define general welfare in such a way that everybody in the country, everybody in society, should get health care, and that it should come out of the general governmental fund, that it should be like they have in some other countries. You don't have to deal with insurance companies. You don't have to fill out forms. You don't have to pay money. You have a medical problem, you take care of it. Look, the guys in the Army, they have free health care. The senators, the members of the House of Representatives, the president, they have free health care. They have what other people would call socialized medicine. Everybody in the country should have that. So, yes, the idea of general welfare should include that. It should include the right to employment. If private enterprise cannot create a job for you, the government should create a job for you like it did during the 1930s, during the days of the New Deal. And so
employer of last resort.
Yeah, we have to define general welfare in terms of how wealthy a country we are and what we can afford to do. And we can afford to take care of the basic needs of this country so long as we don't spend $400 billion a year on war and armaments, and so long as we don't take the wealth of this country and pile it into the upper 1% of the country, the richest 1%, by our tax system. So you're
suggesting that we should do this because it's a moral imperative?
Exactly. It's the right thing to do. It's the decent thing to do. It follows the principles of the Declaration of Independence, that the idea of government is to protect the right of equal right of people to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You can't pursue happiness unless your needs are taken care of, health care, housing, jobs, education.
Right.
We're a very rich country. We can do all that.
Yes, I agree. I thought it was interesting how Jefferson took the rights of property that John Locke talked about and turned it into right of happiness. Dr. Zinn will be back after just this short two-minute break. We're talking with Dr. Howard Zinn. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Thumbs down to the state of Minnesota's contract proposal to its two largest public employees unions. In a vote tabulated yesterday, nearly 30,000 Minnesota state employees overwhelmingly rejected state offers of two-year wage freezes and rising health insurance rates that would cost some workers as much as 7 weeks' wages. The vote clears the path for most public employees to strike, provided they alert the state 10 days in advance. However, both unions say they plan to continue to work toward a negotiated settlement. Preparing for a possible strike 2 weeks ago, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty activated National Guard units who have since been training to take over in nursing homes and similar facilities. Essential employees like Minnesota's prison guards are barred from striking and will head into binding arbitration.
Workers at the UK's oldest shipyard have occupied the facility in protest of plans to close it. More than 500 workers at the Appledore shipyard in North Devon chained the gates on Sunday. By Monday, they moved heavy equipment to block the entrances, and a couple hundred community members joined the occupation. The shipyard's expected to file for bankruptcy today. So far, the police and the shipyard's owners have left the workers alone.
Fresh off of big wage and benefit reductions brought about by their company's bankruptcy, mechanics at U.S. Airways say they face another threat to their standard of living, job loss. U.S. Airways may soon farm out the heavy maintenance of its fleet of Airbus jets to the lowest bidder. The Mechanics Union, the International Association of Machinists, calls the bid a violation of its labor contract and says it's prepared to take whatever means necessary to prevent the loss of jobs, including a withdrawal of services. U.S. Airways employs about 5,000 mechanics and related employees, mostly in Pittsburgh and Charlotte, North Carolina.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Dr. Howard Zinn, author of The People's History of the United States. And Dr. Zinn, I know you have to go. We just have time for a quick question here. I appreciate your having been with us as long as you have.
Sure.
You gave a marvelous speech titled People Still Have Power. 100 years ago, farmers and average working people were siding with the progressive movement, and today it seems more often than not that they are siding with Rush Limbaugh. Where do you see this power that the people still have, and what do you see as the greatest hope for the future directions we can move this country in, and what can we be doing to bring that about?
No, it's true that people like Rush Limbaugh are dominating the airwaves, but at the same time, there are independent radio stations. Well, yours is an example. There are community newspapers. There are groups all over the country working on environmental problems, working for peace. And I see the numbers growing. I see the number of people around the country who are becoming aware of the war in Vietnam. I'm sorry, the war in Iraq. They're connected, right?
Sure.
Becoming aware of the war in Iraq being, totally wrong and immoral, misguided, based on lies. I see more and more people recognizing that. And so I'm hopeful, other movements, we have to consider this. If you look at the past, other movements also have looked very small and powerless. But the truth came through. The truth came through to the country about racial segregation. The truth came through to American people about the war in Vietnam. Because remember, at the beginning of that war, most people supported the war. A few years later, most people were opposed to the war. It means that people learned and that the truth has a power of its own. And I think that is what's happening right now. So I'm hopeful that the American people, being basically decent and humane people, being people with common sense, are more and more recognizing that we can't be a military warlike nation, that we can't simply fight war after war, that we have to reuse our immense resources to take care of the problems here at home and to help other people abroad, but not with bombs, with food and medicine, the things that people need. I sort of feel confident that that process is going on.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sensing the same thing, and I am so pleased to hear you say that. Dr. Howard Zinn, thank you very much for being with us on the program today. I truly appreciate your sharing your time with us. And keep sharing the great message. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 24 minutes before the hour. We're going to give away a book. A copy of the Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights, by yours truly, by Tom Hartman, a book published by Rodale. It is available in bookstores nationwide. And here is our question. If you are the first caller to call Shar, who's running our board, the ever-capable Shar Jones, say hi to her, who's running our board at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, with the correct answer, you will win an autographed copy of my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. And here is the question, what is the typical tax cut most taxpayers will get in 2003 and in 2004? Is it $250, $120, $500, or $1,025? What is the typical tax cut most taxpayers will get in 2003 and 2004? $250, $120, $500, or $1,025? 1-800-TALK-YES, be the first to call with the correct answer, and you will get a book. And if you would like to give the correct answer on the air, Char will hold you on and let you tell us all what the correct answer is and your reasoning behind it. And if you're a shy person and don't want to do that, you're welcome to call. And if you have the winning answer, we'll just send you the book and we'll announce your name on the air. If you would like or not, just let us know. Ah, we have a winner already. Eureka. Char, is it a winner who's willing to go on the air? Okay, great. Let's put that person on the air. Who is this? Who has won the book? Oh, it's Billy. Hey, Billy.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, how you doing today?
I win.
Hey, congratulations. I'm really pleased. I hope you enjoy reading the book. What is the correct answer, Billy? The typical tax cut most American taxpayers will get in 2003, 2004.
I went with the idea of it being pathetic, and so I picked 120.
Well done. In fact, here's the quote from Robert S. McIntyre, director of Citizens for Tax Justice, the group.
By the way,
really
a friend of mine, a great guy.
Yeah, he is. He really is an extraordinary man. And Citizens for Tax Justice in Washington, D.C. And here's an app, and they did the math on this. They've got a whole page about it on the web. And here's the quote. The president has given numerous speeches implying that most people stand to gain $1,000 or more from his latest tax bill, but that's not true. In fact, over the next 2 years, the median tax reduction will be about $120. After 2004, the median tax cut drops to zero. So, Billy, you have won the book. By the way, what'd you think of Howard Zinn?
He's always great. I mean, the man is just so interesting. We need that. We need that take on everything. And, you know, as far as the trickle-down theory of economics and the Bush tax cut,
yeah.
Well, in America today, we no matter how much money we give rich people, they're not going to be building factories in America.
No, that's we talked about this last week. The major amount, the largest percentage of investment going right now in the world is going to China. And an awful lot of it is American money.
So the lie is that when we give the money back to the rich people, and remember, I'm a rich person, so, it's not class warfare. I'm just telling the truth. We're not investing it in America at this time. We've already overinvested in America. That's why we did so well the last 50 years. But the next 50, they're not the American 50, and we have to sort of scale back our desires, and making the rest of us poor and a few rich people richer isn't going to work.
Amen. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for winning the book. And please let me know what you think of it when you have a chance to read it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The Antarctic ozone hole is getting larger. Let's catch up on a little bit of the news here for the week. The size of the ozone hole over Antarctica this year. You remember you thought everything was just fine? Turns out that the ozone hole over Antarctica this year was the second largest ever recorded, federal researchers said Thursday. 10.9 million square miles, an area larger than North America. Now, why does this matter? People say, oh, it's the big deal. It's just an ozone hole. Well, here's why it matters. The first billion years of the existence of this planet, planet Earth is estimated to be around 5 billion years old. And the first billion of those years, in a universe that's estimated to be more or less 15 billion years old, the first billion of those years, there was no life on the surface of planet Earth. Life slowly appeared and slowly evolved in the oceans. But nothing was on the surface. And the reason why was because the ultraviolet radiation from the sun, the UV radiation, that stuff that causes skin cancer in the normal levels that we get right now, was so intense that it would have killed anything that got in it. I remember when I was a kid, at the barber shop, the barber had this thing with a blue light on the top, and he would stick his clippers in there. Remember those things? And you've seen them in hospitals and the sterilizing units. It's ultraviolet light. I think they stopped selling them in the 60s because people were actually getting eye damage from the reflected UV radiation coming out of them. But UV radiation will sterilize things. It will kill anything that lives when it's at a certain level of intensity. And it was at 100%. And what happened was that the living things in the ocean started consuming carbon dioxide and started releasing oxygen. and it started cranking up the oxygen level in the atmosphere. See, one of the ways that they could tell when they look into outer space, now they've identified something like 100 planets, one of the ways that they can tell if there's life as we know it on a planet is the presence of oxygen, because the presence of oxygen in the atmosphere of a planet is not normal. And the atmosphere of a planet typically is just nitrogen, or ammonia, which is mostly nitrogen. And the presence of oxygen represents something growing. And so these plants in the sea produce so much oxygen that the oxygen level reached a certain threshold that it started reaching up into the upper layers of the atmosphere, and oxygen naturally bonds to itself. One oxygen atom will bond to another, and you get O2, which is oxygen. And when it gets in the upper layers of the atmosphere, that bond, because the radiation, the UV radiation from the sun is so intense, it hits those outer layers of the atmosphere, and it rips apart those two atoms. So now you've got free oxygen atoms, and they carry an electrical charge. They're called ions, and free oxygen atoms like that are referred to as ozone. We don't call it oxygen, even though it's really pure oxygen. We call O2 oxygen because that's the biologically relatively stable form in the form that we as a biological organism that inhales oxygen and exhales carbon dioxide can use. And that layer of ozone that slowly formed after a billion years as a result of plants in the ocean producing oxygen, that ozone layer is what made possible life on the surface of planet Earth. Are you getting how serious this is? And if that ozone layer goes away, it's not just going to mean you and me are gone. It's going to mean that the surface of this earth is going to return to being rocky and sterile. So here we see 10.9 million square mile ozone hole, an area larger than North America. The size of the ozone hole has been carefully watched for decades. Atmospheric ozone screens harmful ultraviolet rays from the sun, but it's been eroded by chlorofluorocarbons and other man-made chemicals, leading to fears of increased skin cancers. There's another chemical. I am forgetting the name of it right off the bat. I don't have the article right in front of me. We talked about it on the air here about a month ago, that the Bush administration that damages the ozone layer as effectively as chlorofluorocarbons, which are basically the stuff that's like in air conditioners or used to be in air conditioners. This is a new chemical, relatively new. They've been making it for about 15 or 20 years, but they've newly discovered that this one is even more dangerous for the ozone layer than the stuff in air conditioners. And so immediately they wanted to do something about it, and the Bush administration said no. So the stuff is still being cranked out. Thursday's report on the near-record size of the hole by researchers from NASA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the Naval Research Laboratory, bolsters predictions that the Earth faces sizable ozone holes for at least a decade. Projections are for ozone holes to linger over Antarctica until at least 2050. Last year's ozone hole was smaller than expected, 8.1 square million miles. Unusually warm weather over Antarctica appears to be the reason. Global warming, ozone hole, big problems. Leonardo DiCaprio did a great little movie on this. He helped write it, and he narrates it. And it was inspired by a book that I wrote called The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. You can find it on his website. Go to leonardodicaprio.com. This is a great introduction to ecology for people who are not familiar with this stuff. Just go to leonardodicaprio.com and click on Global Warning. A message from Leonardo, and click play the movie. And you see this nice little 5-minute flash animation movie about what's happening with this, with exactly what we're talking about. Here again, we see the influence of corporate money in government. The experts criticize the new food pyramid. The government's current dietary guidelines and food guide pyramid encourage healthy Americans to maintain their present weight by limiting intake of saturated fats, salt, and sugar. A revision of this thing, this food pyramid, is due out in 2005. However, 2 weeks ago, the Agriculture Department said it wanted a new food pyramid accompanying the revised guidelines to focus on inactive, overweight consumers rather than healthy Americans, encouraging moderate eating and exercise. In other words, they have decided that they are not going to go near the issue of things like obesity caused by genetically modified corn that produces high fructose corn syrup, something that is now in our food supply that human beings had never before been exposed to in the kind of quantities that we're seeing now. The conversion from old Coke to new Coke, all of our soft drinks now, the high you want to know, is the next time somebody says to you, well, there's no proof that genetically modified organisms are harmful to human beings, point out to them the genetically modified corn produces a brand new substance. This isn't just corn sugar. This is high fructose corn syrup. And that this stuff in huge quantity in our food supply just in the last 20 years has created an epidemic, in the opinion of some scientists, has created an epidemic of obesity in the United States, and not just obesity, even worse than obesity. We're seeing an epidemic of heart disease and diabetes. Because this genetically modified chemical from this genetically modified corn seems to have a rather dramatic effect on the body's ability to metabolize sugars. It really whacks us. But are they going to talk about that in Washington, D.C.? No, they didn't. The article, you know, at least here, this is the Associated Press. At the Guideline Committee's meeting last week, several members indicated a preference for continuing to target the government's advice to healthy consumers. Critics said that would avoid sending an eat less message opposed by the food industry. I'm telling you, until we go back to having laws that say it is a crime for corporations to participate in politics, for them to use their money to try to influence politicians, for them to get their fingers and their tentacles into regulatory agencies, we're in big trouble in this country. It is time for a change. We have got to bring this about. Get politically active. Get politically active today. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the No Spoon Feeding Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on the fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Molloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Molloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Molloy Show, just say no.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to News Without Conflicts of Global Corporate Interest. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is our phone number, and Mark in Santa Fe has some thoughts to share with us. Mark, welcome to the program.
Great show. I love your show.
Thank you, Tom.
It's my opinion that there are very few problems in this world that can't be related to man's making of chemicals, the chemical industry. And one of the things that occurs to me is that there's a profit and making money is kind of like a sacred cow, and there's no attempt to qualify profit. If there was more accountability for the products you produce, then there may be fewer of these problems.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Well, there historically was a way of solving this problem, Mark, that with the reality is that in a small marketplace, they will self-regulate. If you've got a bunch of small companies in a local community, they will compete with each other down to the point where they're all making a reasonable living and everything's happy. You know, everybody's happy. You've got the different retail vendors and manufacturers and whatnot. But what happens when companies hit a large enough size that they can capture a large chunk of the market is that they end up being able to charge anything they want. That's called a monopoly. And so the ways that has been controlled in the United States historically is one of two ways. Either one, the government steps in and says, okay, if you're going to have a monopoly, we're going to tell you how much you can charge. They've regulated prices. We did that with the airlines. We did that with the telephone companies. Or two, we step in and we say, we're not going to allow this. It's against the law. This was the Sherman Antitrust Act, the anti-monopoly laws. And now, but the religion of the conservatives says government doesn't play a role, shouldn't play a role in the free market. And so they've thrown both of those out the window. So what we have is this reversion to feudalism, rule by the rich. And that's with the large corporations taking that role of governance.
You know, Tom, it seems to me that human beings are always slapping themselves on the back, you know, for being able to make things. You know, just because we have opposable thumbs, we're, you know, anything we make is okay. And I'd like to see some kind of more effort being given to the idea that, you know, capitalism, profit, they can be qualified, in terms of what they produce is either beneficial or not.
I agree. Mark, that music means we're at the end of the program. Thank you for the call. I agree with you, and I appreciate your comments. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is Tom Hartman. Our program was produced today by Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson down in Georgia, and engineered by Shar Jones in Detroit. Thank you, Shar, for a great job. Thank you, Joe, for a great job. Joe's website links off our main blog site, by the way. You can find it on our show notes. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. Tune in tomorrow. Same time, same place. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh.